In John 16:14, where Jesus talking about going away and that the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit, it's a very important word that Jesus said in John 16:14, He shall glorify me. The Holy Spirit and mighty power of God is so essential, and His work is so very important. But He really wants Jesus Christ to be honored. That's part of His ministry, is to exalt the Lord Jesus. And I just like to stop and ask that the Holy Spirit would enable us to honor our Lord Jesus Christ as we remember Him coming, remembering what He did, remembering what He paid for us out of the heart of love of His Father. So, Lord Jesus, we just stop right now. Thank You for the ministry of the Holy Spirit that has come to live in every believer here, everyone that's opened their heart to Christ. And thank You for that special ministry, Holy Spirit of God, to glorify and honor our Lord Jesus Christ. We desire that here today. We're clear that when we're home, that the Lamb of God is going to have honor and glory throughout the eternities for what He did. But on this side of glory, Lord, help us to honor our Lord Jesus as we ought. In Jesus' name. I want to share some verses, first of all, here from Isaiah 53. And it's difficult to get into the mind of God. So our Lord Jesus was well aware of this prophecy over 700 years before the time was come. When we read in Galatians, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us. But I just kind of think that in the counsel of God, as this word is given, this prophecy that will come to pass, and hundreds of years pass until that time when the fullness of time came and Jesus came. So in my mind, I'm thinking, what's on Jesus' heart all this time leading up to that? And Isaiah wrote, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with griefs, and we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. I'll read that to that extent. Of all that was going to happen in the outworking of our dear Savior. And it's a hard thing for us to grasp, I guess, deity laying aside the honor and the praise and the worship and the glory of heaven and come here in human form. And he did not have a fallen nature as we do, because Mary was conceived of the Holy Spirit. But He had a body like us. He hurt like us. He put up with things here. And one of the things I really appreciate about that is the fact that He comes to not only all-knowing as God, but to experience what it's like for us to live here. And I think that's such an important thing, that we can bring that to Him and know that He's been here and He understands. In His human form, we see Him in the garden. Father, if this coming thing can be taken away, Nevertheless, not that my will, but thy will. And I suspect one of the things that Jesus knew about was there was going to come a moment when our sin was being paid by him and our iniquity laid on him, that he sensed that brokenness of fellowship with the Father. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I think probably that was the hardest moment in all of our Lord Jesus to sense that break in the because of our sin on him. And so anyway, I am so grateful that our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to come, live through all these years of understanding, being faced continually. There was always the work of the wicked one to try to destroy him. And you know, right at the beginning, Joseph and Mary were exhorted, take him to Egypt because he's in danger here. And the agenda of the wicked one is always to destroy. And you have received Jesus Christ into your life, and I can tell you, you're in the battle because Jesus lives in you, and he does not want the life of Jesus to thrive in our lives. But I want to just, we're remembering especially his giving his life for us, his death and all that he paid for us, but also I wanted to have us think a little bit about how we're called to, once we are born into God's family, is to live by his example, to live like him. And I just take us to John 13, which is a pretty amazing record of the heart of God and the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it starts by saying, "Now the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father." Wonderful statement. "Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." May God continue to teach us how the love of God, willingness to send his son in likeness of our flesh, to live here, to be confronted continually. There's always something of the enemy coming against him. And ultimately, we have the record of a special time of temptation in the wilderness, that he endured through all of that without sin. He knows what it's like to go through temptation and the buffeting of the wicked one. But I just had to think here, if Jesus knows what's coming, he knew Isaiah 53. It's going to be a horrible time. And he's not thinking about himself. He comes to this time with his own to wash their feet, to minister to them, to show them what a servant he is and how he has come to serve and minister and challenge us then that we should be like him and learn from that. I've heard it said in verse 3, as he says, "Knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he was come from God and that he went to God," it sounds like it's just ready for a big sermon. But that's not what he did. Picked up the basin of water, girded himself, and went around the room, and I would take it on his knees, washing their feet. And that was a servant's task. And he was showing them right in the face of, he's right up against being pointed out by Judas Iscariot and then suffering and ultimately dying for us. So he knew what was coming. In the midst of that, he ministered to his own. And I just, as I was thinking about that, I think it's important that we could have just as well been in the room there with him. I love the verse, it's John 17, verse 20. where Jesus is praying to the Father. It's one of the prayers that's recorded that he is intercessory prayer. But he said there, I pray not only for these, he's praying for those, his followers now, but I pray also for those that will believe on me through their word. You and I, we're in John 17 in that prayer, because he's praying on down through the generations for those that will come to him. And I guess I'd want us to think, what is it like to follow Jesus? And now comes this time before, in his heart, he knows he's going to lay down his life, that he comes and washes their feet. It's also pointed out that he knew that in the room that Satan had put in Judas's Iscariot's heart to point him out, betray him. But he also knew that he was in the midst of the Father's plan. He knew he came from God, that he was going to God, but he was right in the middle of what God's plan was for his life. And so he did not start by proclaiming a message to them. They've been watching his life, but he lived a sermon out before them. And it has its such implication for us in how he ministers to us and his heart for us. So there's a little bit of time here about Peter's reaction. And, you know, Peter would always say things that maybe somebody else was thinking, but they didn't speak up like Peter did. He said, God, Jesus, you're not going to wash my feet. And you can imagine the seeing the humility, and now we understand even more, God incarnate coming down to minister to us. I think sometimes, and Peter indicated this, that angels choose to look into some of these things. And I think they knew the Father's plan, but for them to know the glory of Jesus Christ in before he came, and now he's down here with us creatures made lower than the angels, him taking on a body of flesh made lower than the angels, and ministering and serving to them. And so he tells Peter, if you don't let me do that, you don't have any part with me. And I think the big picture here really is 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As we walk here, it's not that the foot washing indicates that they're being saved. He said, you're clean, but you have need that I minister to you. You have need that, that is in 1 John 1:9, not only that he forgives us when we sin, when we mess up, but he cleanses us. And I think the foot washing was a picture of cleansing us as we walk here, and we still mess up, and we need to come to him for cleansing. So Peter says, well, just wash me all over. And he said, no, you're clean, but you need to let me wash your feet. So after he had washed their feet, had taken garments and was set down again, he says to them, do you know what I've done to you? He said, you call me Master and Lord, and so I am. More than that, he's God come down in the person of human flesh amongst you. I'm your Master, your Lord. And if I've done this for you, you should do this for each other. I've given you an example of how to live. I've given you an example of humility. And God just honors humility in a special way. I didn't put her down, but I'm always amazed at Ahab, such a wicked, wicked king. And he came to a point at one time where he humbled himself and rent his garment. And God told the prophet, because he humbled himself, I'm not going to do that judgment on him right now. God loves humility. Jesus demonstrated humility and ministered to them, ministered to us. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. It says, a servant's not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. So if you know these things, it's going to be a blessing to you. And so as we remember our Lord Jesus Christ not only coming and showing us how to live, showing us how to treat one another, showing us how to honor him, but this morning we stop and remember him giving his very life. He allowed our sin, the penalty for our sin, to be put on him so that we can be clean, so we can be free. And God's purpose, and you know this, is after we receive Christ, he destined us ahead of time, those that he knew, that they would become like him. We'll be finally like him when we see him at his return, but now his plan is to make us more and more like Jesus. What a living demonstration to his own and to us how to live, and then to give his life in that awful moment when he had to just say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Is he bearing our sin? But then his words, it's finished. The curtain in the temple rent in two and the way to God's presence open. We remember him this morning. And before, well, I'm going to have a word of prayer, but then I was to sing this little chorus. It's such a, we've already sang the hymn, but I love that chorus. Be like Jesus, that's my song. This is my song. In the home, in the throng, be like Jesus all day long. That's on his heart. That was on his heart for his own as he washed their feet. I'm your master and Lord, and I've shown you how to live. So come to the table. May God help us to understand more and more his heart in sending his son and the heart of Lord Jesus in giving his life for us. Lord Jesus, I thank you that we today come together as believers, those that have received you in the Lord's Supper that's been instituted, that we do not forget, but we remember. That we remember how you came and how you continue to minister to us, but above all, as you laid down your life for us. Help us to grasp that again as we examine ourselves before the Lord's Supper. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like us to sing that chorus, and then Liz will continue to play as we prepare our hearts. Be like Jesus, this my song. In the home and in the throne. Saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Lord, may we live our lives out in gratitude, and to be like you, Lord Jesus, by the power of your Spirit operating within us. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.